People were sleeping, and the Lord switch a button. And you say, where is that button? Hey, nobody knows. Because then they would have tried to switch the button back. And when the people woke up in the morning, then Leo Rolf said,
Rolf namugamba.
Gudag. And Leo said, what is he saying? Right? Oh, he's crazy. Right? Because I did not speak Ugandan. I spoke Norwegian. And some spoke English. And some maybe German. And then the people said, I don't want to be with you. You are talking funny. And people separated. That was at the time of Babylon. You read about that in Genesis. Chapter 9, 10, and 11. Because God said that we want to make people, and we want them to spread around all over the world. But you know, people have always had a tendency to gather together. That's why people want to go to the city. Hey, you can all sit down. I don't want you to stay all day. But you get the picture? Last week we have now been in Kampala. And maybe they have 13 to 15 million people there. Right? One time, many years ago, there was not a car. They only had camels, horses, donkeys, and cows. That was the transport. Right? And then when they settled around Kampala, there were no problems. But here comes the car. The motorbikes. And all the other things. And they had to start to make roads. And recently, we were going to church. And to go 7 kilometers with car, it takes 1.5 hours. That is crazy. It should take you less than 10 minutes. If you are a good walker, you can walk 7 kilometers in 1 hour. Right? So you see, people seek to the cities. Every city is like that. And traffic stands still. People cannot move. There's too many cars. and the roads are not built for that many people. And still the Lord said, fill up the earth. So you may wonder, how did God make a mistake? Oh no, he never make mistakes. But people, they don't follow the plan of God. They want to have their own plan. And then they get together. I have traveled many places. One city is called Chicago. It's in America. And sometimes we had to pass Chicago on the way to another destination. But when we came into Chicago, traffic was packed. And we were standing still. We could not move. So if you think Kampala is bad, all the cities are bad. And Chicago, they have highways, and you can travel 6 to 8 cars in the same direction in the lane. And still it is packed. You see? So don't think about Kampala as bad. You can be glad you're in the countryside. You don't need to think too much about cars. You can do your daily work and have a more simple area. So if you have big dreams and I want to make it to another country or to a big city, I want to tell you, a big city is really a hiding place. I hope to explain what I mean. You know, a hiding place? It's places where God don't see you. Right? Here, in this area, you walk out in the morning, everybody knows you. They wave at you and say, hi brother, hi sister, right? Everybody knows you. You know why? Because it is a small area and not many people. Here you can ask for a certain person, and he may live 10 kilometers away. And you will say, yeah, I know him. He lives up on the hill here. But if you come to a big city, a big apartment building, hey, people, they don't know the neighbor next door. They have no time to communicate. They're too busy. And then the neighbor live only 10 meters away from you. Right? And they don't know each other. Because they're not interested. They have their own life. And they say, stay out of my life. Therefore, the cities, they become hiding places. And why would people want to hide? It is because they plan something that is fishy, not right. Hey, if you live a righteous life, you have nothing to be ashamed of. You can live and be happy and wave to everybody. But if you are a thief, if you are a crook, then you hide. And you only come out at night because your works cannot stand the light. Right? So I say, if you have big dreams, you want to get up in the world, and you want to go to a city, I say, think twice. The best thing you can do is to ask the Lord. Right? Because you still believe in Him. And you tell Him, Lord, I am here. I'm ready to serve you. Help me, Lord, to see what to do. Where to live. So I can serve you the best way possible. Right? I don't live in a big city. I live in a little town. And we have 15,000 people in the community. Norway is not a heavy populated country. We have only 5 million people in the whole country. So, and that's not many. How many people is there in Mitiana? 6 to 7 million in the areas of Mitiana?
Hey!
So in your district,
so the district yoka,
you have more people
banji,
than our whole country. So you see?
Oh,
yeah. And you may say, well, if I'm going to be able to do anything, I need to be where there's lots of people. But you don't need to think that way. Because I live in a little town, and I'm here with you. Right? And I'm not here just for the first time. If I remember right, this is my fifth time in this very place. Right?
Yeah.
Before you had a building, you just used a little tent as a roof to shelter from the sun. Right?
Amen.
And the next year it came, you have started on this construction. And you had no windows, no doors. You see, every year, you do progress. But I hope that the progress is not only on the external thing. Right? Because it doesn't matter how fine, nice your church is. You need to have an inner standard. I want to look into a little scripture and talk about how to treat your enemy. You may say, Brother Strowman, why should I need to do that? You know, I want you to be real blessed. Because there is a treat for spiritual success. So there is a way we have to act, so that we always can be pleasing in the eyes of God. Right, remember, God watches us all the time. He's not watching us as an angry spirit, but is checking us how we treat each other. Right? I believe you understand what I'm talking about. Because sometimes you may meet people that you don't like. Right? Maybe they have hurt you. Maybe they've done something to you. And you always remember, oh, they did that to me that time. I'll never be their friend. Sometimes God does things so that people get offended. Really, there is a difference. Because we have a nature, we call it the human fallen nature. Because man sinned, or they were disobedient to God. Because God said, don't do this. And they did it anyway. That is what we call disobedience. The Lord, when He speaks to us, and when He says, do this, and when we do it, God is pleased. Because we show obedience. Right? There was a fall in the Garden of Eden. And that caused man to lose contact in the spiritual dimension. Remember, you are thinking. You can sit here now and think about something else. Right? Yeah, you can think about anything. You don't even need to listen to me. Because you're so busy thinking about other things. So that tells me you are able to think. And that is what we can call a dimension or an area. It is invisible. Nobody can see your thoughts. And sometimes that's good. Because if you have evil thoughts, the better should not show. Right? But we have God. And He is the master of that dimension. You know God? He knows what we are thinking. Isn't that something? And when you talk about Brother
Branham,
the angel of the Lord came to him one time and he said to Brother Branham, remember now, your thoughts, they speak louder in heaven than your expressed words. Think about that. I'm now here speaking, and you hear what I say, but you don't know what I think. Right? But God, He even knows what I'm thinking. And that dimension is a very important dimension. But I'm glad that God is the master of that dimension. Of course, the devil can come and put thoughts in your mind. Like, I could think, oh, I don't like Brother Leo. Right? I would never say that. But if I'm thinking it, God has seen it. And He says, Rolf, watch your thoughts. Repent. Because that is not good. Right? Oh yes, He can do that. Okay.
Yes.
But I believe I like Brother Leo. I'm just using an illustration. Let us look into this little area. You know that we had a father in the faith called Isaac. He was the son of Abraham. Right? And one day, Isaac and Rebecca, they got pregnant. Right? Rebecca got pregnant. So they were expecting children. But in her womb, it showed to be twins. Two sons. And the Lord came and He spoke to Rebecca. And He said,
Rebecca,
in your life, in your womb, there are two children. One is going to be the firstborn. Whoever comes out first is the firstborn.
Of course,
and then the second, it's going to be the secondborn. And in the old law, it was always like that. That whoever came first was going to inherit the birthright. So the oldest son, he would take care of the inheritance when the parents died. Right? That's pretty normal all over the world. I am the firstborn. In my family, I have a sister. In Norway, we don't have many children. Here in Uganda, you can have 10 sons and daughters. In Norway, they have one or two. Right? Huh? So, if you have 10 children, then the firstborn, he might claim to be the boss. Right? That's pretty normal. But I'm not going to talk about family planning here. I'm
going to
talk about something special. When Rebecca gave birth, here was Esau. He became the firstborn. Then, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, here comes Jacob. Second born. And the rule, the firstborn, he's gonna inherit the promise. If you remember now, when you read your Bible, you find out that God spoke to Abraham. And he said, since there was a sin in the Garden of Eden, I am going to restore that. And Abraham, I have chosen you,
Abraham,
to be the father of the Messiah. Right? Yeah. So Abraham carried a promise. And, well, of course, Abraham was glad. But he did not know that it would take 1,800 years before the Messiah came. Right? If someone told you, you are going to be mother of a very special child, but he didn't tell you that it was going to be the first daughter or son.
But
that it might be your great granddaughter. Who would be the tool in God's hand. Right? So when Abraham said what is when the Lord spoke to Abraham, then
Abraham
was in the spirit,
Abraham yali mu moyo,
brought into a position
na
where he could see the coming Christ. Because Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. And he rejoiced. Hey, that was what Jesus said. And of course, Abraham had been dead for 1,700 years before Jesus was born. So how could Abraham see Jesus? Well, we know it could not be natural. It had to be in their thought.
Right?
You're thinking. Right? Very simple. God gives you a plan and he opens up how he is thinking. And then he opened it up for you, so you can think the same way. Isn't that beautiful?
Said,
hey, remember, do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in heaven? When you die, you go to heaven? Right? And you have to admit, it is all in your thinking. Right? You cannot produce any proof because it doesn't show. Heaven is a spirit world. And your physical eyes cannot see it. So here, God is using your ability to use your spirit, or should we say use your soul, right? Spirit and soul is within your body, and those two elements, they don't need the body to be able to plan. The only thing the body is for is to do what is practical right now. So you can get to church or do some work, things like that. Alright. So here Abraham tells Isaac,
Abraham n'agamba Isaac
that you
n'agamba gwe
are a promised son,
oli mwana wa kisuubizo,
and out of you
era okuva mu gwe
the Messiah shall come.
Masiya agenda kuzaliwa.
And he also said,
era n'adamu n'agamba,
and remember,
jukira,
every firstborn
buli mwana wo muberi eberye
will have that promise. Then
kakati,
Isaac gets Jacob and Esau.
Isaac nazara Esau ne Yakobo.
And now when Isaac is telling the story,
Isaac wabanga anyumya story,
he's speaking to Esau.
Nagamba ne Esau.
And he said, you are the firstborn.
Namugamba mutabani.
So remember, the Messiah
Masiya
shall come through you.
Acha kuita mugwe.
Right? You understand me?
Otekera burunji.
Right? Okay. So Esau is very happy. But he is not very spiritual. He almost doesn't have time for God. So therefore one day, when he had been out hunting, and he's bringing home a deer, and he's very exhausted, and he's almost like, oh, I could die right now. And Jacob is sitting there making in an outdoor kitchen. You know the sisters out here? They're making food. And it may smell good. Right? But when it came to
Esau,
he got so hungry that I said to Jacob, give me all that soup. And Jacob said, no. I have worked on this soup. I'm just not going to give it away. But Esau said, I'll do anything to get that soup. And Jacob is looking. And he said, anything? Would you even give me your birthright? For the soup? And Esau said, yep. Because if I die, I have no use for a birthright. Hey, Esau was not very spiritual at all. He was only thinking about his belly. Only thinking natural. He had not listened to his father. When Isaac raised him, and he said, Esau, remember, you are the firstborn. And there is a promise through Abraham that the Messiah shall come through the firstborn. And Esau knew all about that. But when it came to a time where he had to make a choice, he just said, I have no use for the birthright. You can have it. And Jacob said, are you willing to swear? Shall we make a contract? Because now, Jacob was thinking, my, maybe the Christ can come through me instead of my brother. You see how serious things started to be. Because Jacob, he was thinking about the promise. He did not think about soup. His mind was on spiritual things. So therefore he saw a possibility. Maybe I could be the blessed one. Even if I am not the firstborn. And then Esau said, you can have it. And is in the name of the Lord. Take it. And Jacob said, here is the soup. Eat now. And you know, the window? Yes. All right, here. I heard the rain.
Yes.
So I kind of felt that coming. So therefore, Jacob saw the ability to become the blessed son. And I believe that Jacob's mother, she always had a special eye towards Jacob. Because the Lord spoke to her even before they were born. And he said, remember now, the oldest one is not going to be the one that will take the lead. It will be the younger son that I will bless. Because God knew that Esau had no desire to stay a spiritual being. All right. Oh, was that was the hotel key. All right, okay, I'll search another pocket and see. Hey, maybe this one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I have too many pockets. All right. So here.
So, Norwegian.
When Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Told Jacob. No, I mean Rebecca.
Rebecca. Boyagamba Yakobo.
Told Jacob.
Nagamba Yakobo.
About her dream. That the Lord spoke to her about. Then she warned Jacob and told him, remember, first of all, always consider the Lord. Don't let anything pass by without putting the Lord first. Alright? So here now, the birthright switched from Esau to Jacob. And in the Bible, the Lord speaks, and it is a kind of a strange expression, because God is supposed to love everybody, right? John 3:16. For so the Lord loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Right? So God loves the world. So then he must love Jacob and Esau also. But when you read your Bible,
is
that Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. My. God saying, I hated Esau. But I told you a story already. Why do you think God hated Esau? He hated his decision. He did not hate the person, but he hated that he sold his birthright. And you know, God in heaven said, because you did this, the Christ, the Messiah, shall not come through your loins, but I will bless Jacob, and Christ shall come through him. You see? Hey, two boys thinking. And Esau said, he said, I don't need the birthright. And that was in his mind. And God heard what he said in his mind. And then he made up his mind. God made up his mind. That young man shall not inherit the blessings of leading to Christ. Alright. After that, you read the story of Jacob and Esau. When Esau found out that he had lost his birthright, he said, I'm gonna kill Jacob. Right? Because if I kill him,
okumucha,
then there can be no birthright.
Right?
So mama said,
mama wenagamba nti,
take up
Yakobo,
take up,
kwate bibyo,
leave the country,
vamu nseno,
go to my family
genda muchika che wange,
and stay there
obereyo,
because Esau want to kill you.
Kubanga Esau yetaga ayagala kucha.
So Jacob had to take up his belongings.
Yakobo yaino kupakinga nkukuje nebintu byonna.
And he fled to Mesopotamia.
Nadukira e Mesopotamia.
And he stayed there for more than 20 years.
Nabere yokusuka miaka 20.
Mhm. But then
kakachi,
Jacob started having dreams and visions.
Yakobo ataliko kufuna okolesebwa nebiroto.
And the Lord said to him,
yeah,
I want you to go back to Israel again.
Because
time is now to meet your challenge. And when he came back into the promised land, he heard that
Esau
was a big man. And Jacob, he was afraid of his brother. Because he had said, I'm
going
to kill you. Right?
So
therefore, on the way back, Jacob made some small herds of sheep and goats, and he started sending them as a peace offering to his brother Esau. And when they finally met, Esau said, what are all these sheep for? And Jacob said, I sent this as a token that I wanted to be your friend. Right? Whatever happened before, I still want to be your friend. And Esau said, what I said, that I was going to kill you, that was just an expression. I really wouldn't kill you. And remember though, I have everything under the sun. I am no rich. I don't need nothing of what you gave me. So you see,
Esau,
maybe he was even richer than Jacob. Right? So finally, they shook hands and said, let us be brothers, and let us go each way in peace. But you know, there's something about a promise. If you don't have the promise, it sticks inside here and it never really heals. If you say to your neighbor, I'm your friend, and you shake hands, and it looks like everything is okay, but if it is not forgiveness from the heart, then there will always be enmity. Right? And later on, Jacob grew 12 sons. Right? And later on, they came back from Egypt. I'm going to progress a little now. Right? And they got the promised land as an inheritance. And you know what the Bible says? And Esau, the Lord gave him the mountain regions of Seir.
n'enyanja.
That is a mountain region that is east of Israel, and it is approximately like Jordan and Syria.
Yeah,
but it's basically more into Jordan. Right? So Esau had a promise. He had land. He was rich. But later on, he started regretting. I sold my birthright. And he knew he could never get it back. And that stayed in him. So he never became a real friend to Israel. Right? So therefore, when you read, I want you to read a book. And I hope that you have time to do it. It is one prophet. And the prophet is the prophet Obadiah. So if you have a Bible, and when you get home, take time. Obadiah is only one chapter. It's not a very big chapter. But it is a very important chapter. Because the Lord called the prophet, which is
Obadiah.
And he said,
Obadiah,
I want you to speak against Esau. In the Bible, it's later mentioned as Edom. Yeah, Edom. That is a territory. And like a tribal territory. And it is a secret in that chapter that tells us that if you have enmity against your enemy, God don't like it. Hey, remember what Jesus said? When you read Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, love your enemy. Do well against them who hates you. Why? And you may say, how can I do well towards people that hates me? That's impossible. No, remember, nothing is impossible. Because we need the help of the Lord. Right? And remember though, Jacob,
Yakobo,
he got the birthright. And later on, it produced Jesus Christ through his inheritance. And the key to be able to forgive your enemies is that you learn to know the importance of being in the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. That your mind is set in the kingdom of heaven. My, that's a very important way of thinking. If you can think and say, I'm a child of God. Right? That means You have a promise. Right?
Amen.
And that promise, it overruns everything else in life. Hey, you can live for 50 years, or 100 years, or maybe only 20 years. But the basic thing is that you love the Lord. Because if you do, you have eternal life. And remember, it is your ability to lean on eternal life that makes you victorious over any enemy. Right? Because you have the best promise there is. If they take your life, you go to heaven. Right? But you may say, oh no, I don't want them to take my life. I can tell you, nobody is really longing to die. Right? Think about Jesus Christ. The last night that he lived, he went aside and he prayed. And you know what his prayer was? Father, don't let it happen now. Right? That was Jesus.
Yes, Christo,
the perfect man who knew everything about heaven. But even he said, Father, let this cup pass me by. But then he also said, but Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And remember, a week before he died, he took the disciples aside and he said, I want to tell you now that we are going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to be taken by the Gentiles. They're going to ill-treat me. They're
going
to crucify me. I'm going
to
die. But I have a promise from the Father. After 3 days, I shall rise again. Yeah? But remember, when the 3 days were over, Jesus did not come back to a natural life. You understand? He came up with a resurrected body. The first one that ever had risen from the dead and have a resurrected body. We have another brother that also came up from the dead. That was Lazarus. And he had been dead for 4 days. Right? Even longer than Jesus had been dead. But when Jesus cried out, Lazarus, come out! It was the same man who came out. The same one that they put in the grave. And Lazarus did not have a resurrected body. It was the same man. And later on, he would die again. Right? But Jesus, when he rose from the grave, he never died again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He had a resurrected body.
Hallelujah.
And he said, I go home to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love that part.
Amen.
All right. But let us know, understand, Jesus Christ,
yes, Christo,
he could not come just through any family. How many families are there on earth? There are millions and millions of different families.
Right?
And the promised Son of God could only come through one line. And that line, of course, was through the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
And it was a special blessed tribe. But that does not mean that all the other tribes were no good. Right? Does that mean that Ugandans are no good? Or does it mean that Norwegians are no good? Right? God loves everyone. But he chose a certain line to produce Jesus Christ. And
Esau,
when he was against his brother Jacob, he could have said, well, I sold my birthright. Jacob have all the rights to produce the promised son. So he could have said, Jacob, I know you're better than me. I know you think more about spiritual matters. My mind is natural. And whatever we did, let that be. And let us be friends. Jacob, I was stupid. I sold my birthright. And I admit that the promised son will come through you. Do you know why the people in the world hate Israel so much? Hey, there is hardly any country in the world that likes Israel. And Jesus said it, all nations will hate you. Think about that. Jesus Christ,
yes, Christo,
was prophesying and said the nations will rise up against you because the promised son comes through you. Right? So therefore, the people of the world, you know what they say? Let us kill off all Jews so that the promise cannot be true. Right? You get it? You see, people, they hate. And hatred causes death. I came to the Lord in 1967, and there was a war in the Middle East. There was an Egyptian president. His name was Mr. Nasser. And you know what he said? We will take all the Jews and we will throw them in the ocean so that we can take over the land of Israel. And the Syrians, they said, amen. Let's kill them. Then the Jordanians, they said, amen. Nasser, help us. Let us get rid of all the Jews. Because this way, the Bible will be burnt. The Bible cannot be true. But you know, God is protecting His land. He is protecting His people. So therefore, when Mr. Nasser built up his Egyptian army, and they were ready, Monday morning, in June 1967, Nasser said, let us go against Israel. But you know what happened in Israel? There were some ears, people listening, and they said, if we don't do anything, they will wipe us out. So therefore, let us take action. Defend ourselves. Remember, there is a difference in the Jewish law and in the New Testament understanding. In the Jewish law, it says an eye for an eye, a life for life. Hey, that's the Old Testament rule. If you pluck out my eye, I can pluck out your eye. Right? It doesn't sound very nice. But the Jews, they lived by that rule. But when Jesus Christ came, you know what he said? Love your enemies. If they rob you, let them. If they steal from you, remember, you have riches in heaven that is much more than what they can steal from you here on earth. So don't be too serious about revenge. If you can forgive and go on, your reward in heaven will be even greater. Right? Hey, you put your bank, your money in the Bank of Uganda. How many percent do you get interest? Maybe 2-3%? You put and you invest in the heavenly bank. And remember, no, I'm not talking about putting money in the heavenly bank.
No.
Remember now, when you forgive, you invest. Right? When you hate, when you love the ones who hate you, you invest. And do you know the interest in heaven? The Lord says,
yes, Mukama wa yagamba,
I will give you 30-fold,
or
I will give you 60-fold, or I will give you 100-fold. Do you know how much that is? That
is
100-fold is 10,000%. Huh? You come with 1 shilling and you get back 10,000 shilling. I would say that's a good investment.
Huh?
And you come with 1 million shilling and you get 100 million. No, you got 10,000 million shilling back. My Lord.
Eh.
But you can say,
Neto gamba.
Yeah, but that's in heaven.
Njebyekulu.
What about now? Hey. Then
Shitegeza.
We are thinking like Esau. Right? Because he said to Jacob, I need soup now. Right? I don't need no birthright. Right? That's what Esau said. And Jacob, when he heard that, he said, Lord, help me never to put down the heavenly blessings. That's why we as Christians are always told to put heaven first. Remember, one man came to Jesus and he said, what is the greatest law? And the Lord said, love your God by all your heart, all your strength, all your might. And that is the first commandment. Put God first. And then he said, there is another law that is just as important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see? Put your faith in heavenly things first.
Yeah.
And remember,
Jukira,
the conflict in Israel and the neighboring countries, the conflict is as old as the battle between Jacob and Esau. Right? Yeah. Because when you read the book of Obadiah, there's something I want you to remember. Because he says, rejoice not over your enemies' downfall. Yeah. Don't be happy when your enemy loses out. Right? If this my brother was my enemy today, and then I saw him being hurt by others, and then I said, ha 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 ha, finally he was paid back. for all the evil they've done to me. Right? Hey, sometimes when the people we don't like and something happened to them, we start to have fun. Finally! And you know what the Lord says? Don't say that. If your enemy goes down, don't rejoice. Because I'm teaching you to love your enemies. Right? If someone is your enemy, then you're not going to hate them. Because we have a golden rule. We want everyone to reach heaven, right? Right? Even my enemies, I don't wish them to go to hell. I want them to make it to heaven. But if they are my enemies, I have a problem. Because I cannot help them to get to heaven. Because every time I see them, we meet on the street, and say, hi, 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 hi. Bye. But there's no joy, no smile, no heart involved. You keep your distance. But the Lord wants you to have a forgiving spirit so that you can even win your enemies. So that even if you were not friends earlier days, then you win them now and they become your friend. So you can really look forward and be happy. Alright. So there is a golden rule. If you see someone going down because of their evil doing, don't rejoice over it. Just say, Lord, be merciful to them. Remember Jesus on the cross? We have a tendency to forget that. Jesus wanted us to become like him. And when he was hanging on the cross and the people were spitting, right? And they said, come down from the cross if you are the Messiah. Show us your power. That was mockery. And Jesus looks at them and he says, Father, forgive them. Amen. They don't know what they're doing. Hey, that is a man who knows what heaven's like. Right? And he wants everyone to get in there. But remember, we have our own choice. We can choose to go to heaven, and we can choose and say no. I don't want to go to heaven. Right? Because they don't believe in heaven. But if people knew there is a heaven to gain and a hell to flee from, and if everybody had seen it, I don't think the choice would have been very difficult. I would have chosen heaven. But it is always my mind. It's always against me myself. Because I plan to be rich. I plan to have power. I plan to be a big man. But it's always me. And when the Lord comes and He says, you have a choice. You can be me. Or you can be nothing in yourself. And I offer you heaven. And I can tell you, you choose heaven, you will never regret it. Because in that is eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand me this afternoon? You get the picture? Right? We started out telling the story of Jacob and Esau, that there was a promise. And even Esau had the birthright, and he had everything going for him. He chose to reject it. And then he lost it. And when his brother got it instead of, he started hating his brother. Right? How could you hate your brother when you choose not to want it? And your brother took it. Hey, you should be happy that your brother took it. But instead, later on, they started hating. And that is wrong. To hate. Right? You and I, we don't have a promise that Jesus Christ,
yes, Christ,
will come through our loins. Because it came 2,000 years ago. It is too late for that. But it is not too late to be spiritual. And Jesus Christ is inviting us to be in His family.
He
said, if you choose the spiritual dimension, then you will gain heaven. But sometimes you may say, I struggle. I have problems. I have no use of heaven now. Right? Then you do like Esau. That's a bad choice. I say, it doesn't matter how bad things are. If things go real bad, still hold on to the promise. Just think like this. I have thoughts. I have dreams. I know there is a spirit world. And one time, one day, that spirit world shall be opened up again so that everyone can be included in it. Remember, God is going to restore. If you look at the Garden of Eden, my Bible tells me Adam was walking in the garden. And the presence of the Lord came down. And Adam and God talked together.
Huh?
My Lord.
Olaba.
And God's going to restore that back. There will be a different Garden of Eden.
There will be a different
garden. Yeah, there will be a different Garden of
Eden.
And God is again going to talk to His children. But now, it is not only going to talk to Adam.
he's
going to talk to every believer. And God is not going to say, you from Uganda? I don't have time for you now. Right? I am talking to Americans. Huh? You think that's the real? No. He's going to spend just as much time with you that he's spending with anyone else. Because God, He can talk to everyone at the same time. Right? Ah, God's capacity is enormous. There is no limitation with Him. And that's why, if you have the right insight and heart, and you don't ever even go up against your enemies, you're going to be God's special child. And He's going to treat you the best way possible. Alright. So don't hate your enemies. And don't rejoice when you see your enemies going down. Right? I did not read from
Obadiah.
But I hope you will take time to read from Obadiah yourself. Then you will understand why I worded myself like this. This is not difficult. And with the power of God, we can do all things.
Amen.
Even help our enemies. I really have one little story before I sit down. Remember the prophet Elisha? God spoke to him and God warned Elisha. He warned Elisha against the Syrians. Because Syria was an enemy to Israel. And one day, the Syrians found out who was telling about them. Yeah, the Syrians, they tried to conquer Israel. But every time they came into Israel, Israel was ready for them. How come? That Israel knows about us. And then one man found out, hey, Israel have a prophet. And God tells him everything that you're talking about. Even your thoughts goes to heaven. And if your thoughts are evil, God will send His angel
Katonda n'asindika malayika we
and warned his prophet.
N'alabula nabbi we.
So that
oba n'amulabula n'amugamba.
So that even your thoughts
ebirowoozo byo
are exposed.
Byonna byanjuddwa.
Then the Syrians came in
and
said, let's get that one man. Let's kill him. Right? So one morning Elisha came out and he saw a lot of Syrians. They were out to get him. And his servant, Elisha's servant, he said, my Lord, we are surrounded by enemies. Oh my, we're dead. And Elisha said, we're not dead. He said, but we had too many enemies. How are we going to survive this? Then Elisha said, Lord, please open up my servant's eyes so that he can see what I see. And the Lord opened up the servant's eyes. And he looked around. And there were angels surrounding the prophet. And the servant said, my Lord, is this what you see? No, I can understand why you are not afraid of your enemy. Hey, remember now, if God opened up your eyes, I know you can see me. But you don't see what is in between us. Right? There is a spirit world. And God is protecting his friends, his servants, right? But the wisdom of God will help us not to see too much. Because if you saw angels around you all the time, you would start to develop an attitude. And you would say, ha, enemy, I got angels around me. So don't you come here. Right? God don't want that. He wants you to respect people. He wants you to treat them well. Don't act like you are a captain of a big army. Be a humble, contrite servant of God. That's what God likes. And that is why he don't show you a whole lot of things. What is going on in the spirit world. And Elisha went up to the captain of the Syrian army. And he said, sir, what are you looking for? It was Elisha who was asking. And the captain said, I am looking for Elisha. And Elisha said, I know him. He didn't say it was him. He just said, I know him. And if you want to, come with me. And I will show you who he is. And then Elisha said, Lord, can you please blind their eyes? Confuse them, Lord. So they don't know what they're doing. And then Elisha took the captain and the whole Syrian army, and they took a little journey to the city of Samaria. And when the Elisha came with the Syrian army, Samaria opened the gate and let all the Syrians come inside. And then they closed the doors. And then Elisha said, Lord, now you can open their eyes. And when the Syrians saw, they were captured. They were inside Samaria. What's going on? And the king of Israel came out. And he said, my those are our enemies. Shall we kill them? Elisha said, you don't kill prisoners of war. You don't kill prisoners of war. Because now they are our prisoners. Oh, the king said, what are we going to do? He said, feed them. Give them food. Give them drink. Let's celebrate with our enemies. Huh? Celebrate with your enemy. Hey, remember, the only way to win your enemy is to love them, is to show them, I have no hatred against you. Even if you hate me, I cannot hate you. And that will work on the enemy's thought. And that day, Israel was setting table for the enemy. And all the Syrians, they laid their swords, their shields, their helmets, they laid them down, and they had a feast. And when everyone was fed, then the king said, what are we now going to do? He said, open up the gate. Let them go home. My Lord. And you know, that army did not come back the next year. Because they remembered Samaria. They remembered the love of the people. How can we put up a war against people who do us well? Hey, think about that. Next time your enemy knock on the door, oh, hi, it's you. Come in. You like to have something to eat? He probably came in to complain. But before he was able to complain, you had already overwhelmed him with generosity, with a warm heart. And he sit down by the table and he eat. And he says in his heart, how can I complain when I'm treated good? You see? Well, always be led by the Spirit of God. Right? But this is the golden rule of how to treat people. But remember now, there could be a day where the Lord wake you up at night and He says, hurry up, get out of the house, because they're coming to burn your home down. Right? And you get out of bed, you dress your wife and your kids, and you leave out of your house. And after a few minutes or an hour, here comes people, evil people, and they put your house on fire. Hey, that can happen.
Yes.
But remember, always be led by the Spirit of God. Very important. Right? Just ask the Lord, what should I do in this situation? And the Lord will come. And He will help you to do right. Remember Joseph? With Jesus and Maria? They were in Bethlehem. And suddenly one night, the Lord woke Moses. No, Joseph. Yeah. And he said, get out of the city. Herod is coming. And he will kill your child. And Joseph got up in the morning. He got out of the city. So Jesus was saved. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, now
my hands, it goes like this. Right? So Jesus,
Yesu,
Joseph and Maria,
Joseph and Mariamu,
they got led by the Spirit and was protected by God. And just as much as they were protected, you and I can be protected also. Alright. You get me today? You understand me? Alright. Because I don't intend to hold your hair all day.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Time is running fast.
So if you understand me, then I've told you what is on my heart. Yeah. And remember, I'm not telling you to love your enemy, but I'm telling us. Right? I'm not addressing it to you. But I'm addressing it to us. Let us be led by God's Spirit so we can do what's right at all times. May the Lord bless you this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. All right, brother. Yeah. Amen.
So you have heard that on a trick, how you are supposed to treat your enemy. Because Jesus said that you feed and give him a drink, and the revenge is not ours.